Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June, sixth. And we are reading from the Big Book on page 68, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Susan R., Traditions, Valerie B., 12 Steps, Terry H., John K., and Marie J. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through experience, shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Valerie B. to read the 12 steps.
Hello, this is Valerie B. from Maryland. Thank you for letting me serve. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, food, and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will, our lives over, and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message of alcoholics. We try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. I apologize for the distraction.
Thank you, Valerie B. I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Yes, good morning. This is Susan R. in Rhode Island, and the 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. list problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Susan R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be timing. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 68, paragraph 2, Perhaps There Is a Better Way, commenting and reading only on that one paragraph. Will Terry H. please read that and comment for us?
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic in North Carolina. What a beautiful day today. Happy Wednesday. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him. Does He enable us to match calamity with serenity? What an amazing paragraph. I love this paragraph. In the middle of step 4, you know, working on the fear inventory. My sponsor, when going through this process and even today, always brings me back to this paragraph on page 68. I've taken a screenshot of it and it's on my phone and I read it a lot. When I completed my step 3 and turned my will and my life over to the care of God, you know, I really, really meant that and really, really took it to heart. You know, today my work is trusting and relying upon God. You know, my self-reliance would only get me so far. I was not able to step across onto the shore. You know, I kept falling into the water or tripping over the rocks. And when I, you know, coming into this program and working these steps and getting to this point, I really had to look at that relationship with my higher power, you know, and trusting. I love, you know, the words where it says we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. You know, I'm getting older and eventually I'm going to die someday. Now, I'm finite. However, my higher power is infinite. No time, no space, you know, just, I can't even imagine. And sometimes I trip up and I put my higher power in this little box and I forget, you know, how awesome and how big he can be. And, you know, so that's where the work is for me. And, you know, fear, I live my life in fear. You know, people... I ran away from people. I didn't trust people. And today I'm learning to be still and to be open, and not so much to trust people, but to trust my higher power and to show me, you know, what's the next step, seeking the next thought, right thought, seeking the next right action. And so that's the work today in all my relationships as a recovered woman. And I'm, you know, I'm just really grateful that I have a higher power today, and that I'm seeking that conscious connection constantly throughout the day. And when I do trip up, when I do fall in the water, I can get up and I can keep walking forward and make it to the shore. And you know, that's the belief that I have today with this program. And I'm really grateful. And yes, the answer is yes. He enables us. He enables me to match calamity with serenity. The peace and the freedoms I have today are amazing. And I don't live my life in fear. Fear comes up, but I don't live my life in fear today. And it's, you know, and I'm really grateful for this program. So, you know, for the newcomer, hang in there, work through that, and know that God is infinite. Your higher power is infinite. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Terry H. Who would like to comment on what was read today?
Marie J.
Kathleen O.
Wendy M.
Sandy S.
Let me tell you who I've got so far. Marie J., Kathleen O., Wendy M., Sandy S., and I think someone Z.
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane Z. I'll take one more in this grouping.
Miriam Rifka H.
Miriam Rifka H. Okay, we'll stop there. So we've got Marie J., Kathleen O., Wendy M., Sandy S., Mary Jane Z., Miriam Rifka H. Marie J., please go ahead.
Thanks, Gina. This is Marie J., and I'm recovered in Colorado. And I just love this because it just reminds me that because I'm human, this is a huge undertaking, this basis of trusting and relying on God. Because as a human being, I want to rely on myself, and I want to play God. Even though I don't look at that way, you know, I don't look at I'm trying to play God. I don't really see it that way, but that's the constant tape that's running in the background in my brain, to be reliant on self, to be in charge, and that's playing God. And sometimes even when I think I'm surrendered, when I check in with my motives, I find that I'm still trying to control outcomes because I'm afraid to let go. I'm afraid to let someone else be in charge, especially if that someone else is God and I can't see God, I can't prove God, I can't, you know, touch God. And so I am afraid to let go. And also because my human thinks she knows best. And then I catch myself. I catch myself and I move toward God. And that's the cycle. I move away, I take control, I catch myself and I move toward surrender. And over all day long. And on the more serene days, it means I've spent more time in surrender. And on the more uncomfortable days, it means I've spent more time in control. And it, for me, it's that simple. If I'm feeling uncomfortable, it means I'm in charge. And then I do the cycle. Okay, move toward God. But my human is always going to keep coming up. I can't rise above being a human being. I will always have that disease knocking around in my brain competing with God. And I might say I'm surrendered, and I might say, God, take this away from me, but I have to open my hand. I have to open that grip of holding on to control. I have to offer myself in faith and trust and humility. And I also have to be in acceptance that my disease is always looking for that backdoor entrance and that it's always trying to grab control. And that's okay. I accept that. I accept that I'm a human being and I don't fight it. I don't resist it. I just take in the information and move toward God all day long. And if I think it should be any other way, that's my ego wanting to be in charge and wanting to beat me up. And that's not useful. It's just a distraction from the real work. And the real work is stay in constant connection and contact with God, get guidance all day long for what I need, what's needed of me to be useful and helpful and carry the message. And anything else that gets in the way is my brain trying to grab control through some backdoor method. So it's not useful for me to beat myself up. It's not useful for me to say, oh, it should be a different way than it is. It is the way it is. I accept it. I don't resist. And I just keep turning and moving toward God when I find myself getting caught up in playing God. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Marie J. Kathleen O., you'll be next, followed by Wendy M. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. This paragraph literally turned my life around because I lived in fear from the time I was a small child. My mom had something happen to her as a child, and so she was constantly living in fear, and that sort of transferred over to me. And as a child, I was one of those children that had to check under the bed before I went at night, make sure the boogeyman wasn't under there. And even as a teenager, if I came home and no one was home, I had to like go through every room and every closet to make sure nobody was hiding that was gonna, you know, the boogeyman wasn't in there. And when I came into program and I got to this part, it was like, perhaps there is a better way. We think so. It's like, yes, perhaps there is a better way than being in fear. You know, I would walk my dog early in the morning before I came into program, always thinking someone was going to, I mean, I had a German Shepherd. I don't think anyone was going to jump out of the bushes, but I was always afraid someone was going to do that. And when I got to this part and I learned, you know, to start trusting in a higher power and not living in fear, it's like it just kind of went away. And that's not to say fear doesn't come up today, but I don't live in it constantly anymore. You know, the answer, this paragraph, this is the answer to fear. We trust in infinite God rather than our finite selves. And we pray and we ask God what's the next right action. And, you know, my finite self, the acronym for fear, one of them is, you know, I can either fight everything and run. And when I do that, I run from God and I run right to the food, and that doesn't work. Or I can face everything and recover. And this paragraph is just packed with power. It's the power of God and, you know, however we, our concept, how we define that. And, you know, when calamity happens, I can go to my infinite higher power. And when I do that, I can hold on to my serenity. I can stay in serenity and just trust that, you know, my higher power has my back. And I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Wendy M., you're next, followed by Sandy S. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. It's Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Gina, for your service on the line. And you know what? You guys are my family. And I heard that earlier today, and it's like, yep, that's what's going on. So the chapter is called How It Works, right? And I'm on the line with you today because it works, right? There's no reason for us to be on the line unless it's working. So I say that to my sponsees all the time, we're on the line because it actually does work, which is a miracle, right? Like crazy miracle. So it says, perhaps there's a better way. And I wrote, absolutely there's a better way. And again, if there's absolutely there's a better way, I've experienced that it works, right? I'm going to stay on this line like for the rest of my life because it brings me joy. It brings me freedom. It brings me serenity. So we definitely think there absolutely there's a better way. And I love the way that it says that. And then it says a different basis. So we're different, right? So what I heard on definition of recovered is I don't think the way I used to think. I don't eat the way I used to eat. I don't behave the way I used to behave. I don't have the same attitudes that I used to have. That to me is a brilliant summation of being recovered, right? What we're doing here. And we are different. We are transformed. We are completely changed. And then it says here, we trust. You know, this is not about belief for me. This is trust. Trust to me is an action. Like I actively have to be trusting God, you know, rather than our finite selves, like it says. And I have to say, too, something I heard earlier, relying on God is so much easier than not relying on God. Not relying on God and playing God is a struggle. It's exhausting. It's stressful. And I constantly have to be lying in order for me to bend reality, in order for me to create a reality that isn't there, but the one I'm creating because I'm chasing an effect, right? So it's stressful. It's so much easier to rely on God. It's the simpler, easier way. Just as being entirely abstinent is so much easier than being in the food for the same reasons, exactly. So the effect that I'm chasing today is peace, right? And today I know peace. I'm sitting in so much peace today. I feel so calm this morning. It's been a calamity rock. It has. But I'm much more peaceful today than I've been in a very long time. And it's a gift. It really is. You know, and the other thing is I know God and I experience God. I don't know if there is a God, but I experience God constantly. When I'm honest, when you're honest, and we take that breath and we just relax and our whole body just, you know, kind of gets really calm, for me, that's God. I experience God constantly. And the person the person I'm supposed to be and how God wants me to be is exactly where I am today. I am home. I am with God, and I'm finally home. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. And I just want to take a point of personal privilege. This is the first time I've moderated this meeting, and I left out the share ID number for the earlier meeting, so let me give that to you. This is for Wednesday, June 6, 2018, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 11,508. I don't know if it's calamitous that I didn't do that as I was instructed, but I was serene about just giving it to you now, so thank you, God. All right, Sandy S., you're next, followed by Mary Jane Z. Sandy, please go ahead.
Hi, this has been fantastic. This is Sandy, recovered compulsive overeater from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm actually at a cardiac gym now where my husband attends, and I was on the treadmill listening and really knew I just had to get off the treadmill and go into a quiet room and share. I loved everything that was shared. It did for me what food used to do for me, only 100 times better. It just kind of penetrated my being and just really addressed the problem, all the problems that food addressed. And the big problem is really, really, really in my heart and soul, trusting that there's something greater than me that can guide me. I mean, that is the crux of it. And I am willing to act as if. And I love my all-time favorite line in the big book is, we match calamity with serenity. Because in my home, in my being, I match calamity with calamity. Not that I wanted to do that, but that's what happened to me. And now I still match calamity with calamity, but not as often. And what's amazing to me is the calamity could be, it's not even the truth. It's a lot of times it's a little tiny thing that I make into a calamity. And that's really the heart of the illness for me, is that I am powerless over making everyday details into a calamity. Actually, sometimes I'm relieved when there's actually a real calamity, you know, because I'm not overreacting. So let me just think of what I could say that's helpful. I think the most helpful thing is that I'm not in control of my recovery. I do have choices every day about what action I'm going to take. But in terms of surrendering, and I don't have control over that. I absolutely wish I did. But what I do have choice about is what is the next right action I think would be helpful. And also to have loving kindness for myself. That is essential. Because I always say, if beating up worked, I would have been recovered a long time ago. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. Mary Jane Z, you're next, followed by Miriam Rivka H.
Good
Please
morning.
Go ahead,
May
Mary
I be heard?
Jane. Yeah.
May I be heard? Okay. Hey, this is Mary Jane Z, recovered in Kentucky. And perhaps there is a better way. We think so. How gentle is that? not, hey, you dummy, you've been doing it wrong. What do you think? You'll never get this. You're so dumb, which is what was going on in my head. But this book is so direct but gentle. Like, hey, why don't you try it this way? And how did I hear that? I heard it by listening to a sponsor that had what I wanted, and that's that we think so. There are 100 people that were recovered when this book was written, and now there's millions. So it's not based on one or two people in an Instagram post. No, this has been going on for quite a while. There's millions of people that have done this. And the instruction, well, I heard on the meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting, which thank you for putting that reference number down, because if you all haven't listened to the 7 a.m. meeting, it's a wonderful exposition on this paragraph also. And a fellow on that line reminded me that, you know, we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns. And that's echoing back to steps 2 and 3, kind of reminding us, don't forget, hey, you said you'd seek, so this is the way you're going to seek. And then just to the extent that we do as he think he would, as we think he would have us, and humbly rely on him. Now, at this stage of the game, I'm still working my 4-step. So I had all kinds of ideas of what I thought God wanted me to do. And thankfully, I had the presence enough or the connection enough to listen to a loving sponsor and follow her direction at this point, because my thinking was still foggy. On the other side of steps 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm getting that connection. But now I kind of have to listen to other people that have walked this path. And that was very helpful to me. And I just want to encourage all the newcomers on the line, just get a sponsor and follow instructions. That's what I did. And another fellow on the line this morning talked about use the analogy of getting in a boat. And I just listened to a talk yesterday called The Invisible Boat. And it was hilarious and quite echoed exactly what was said at the 7 o'clock meeting. You can't see it. That's where the trust comes in. But if you start rowing, it'll appear. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary Jane Z. Miriam Rifka, you'll be next. And then I will be taking a new grouping. So all you out there who want to share, get ready to press *1. Miriam Rifka, please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Miriam Rifka H in New Jersey. Thank you for this opportunity. And we're talking about fear here, and I want to say I was full of fear. I am full of fear. My default is to go to fear. You know, if I am left unattended, I will, by default, just go into that self-reliance and subsequent fear, because if I'm in charge, life is terrifying. This is going to sound a little extreme, but towards the end, you know, when I was down in really deeply in my disease, I remember I used to go to sleep at night literally shaking with fear that someone would break into my home over the night. Like, I had this just crazy, irrational fear. And that's just an example. I remember, you know, anytime I would be driving in the car, I always had these different relaxation CDs on because my anxiety was through the roof and I just couldn't breathe hardly. I had to just constantly be doing self-soothing. You know, if it wasn't food, at least it was this other thing. But I just was totally, totally out of control with the fear. And, you know, this, by doing this work, it really helped me see things in a different light. My sponsor pointed out to me, the wording in the big book is really interesting. It doesn't say just to the extent that we do as we think, as God would have us. It's just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us. She said, and I remember she said that, she was like, you don't even have to get it right. You know, you just have to do the best you can. And I find that when I'm able to take this advice that they're giving us and sit quietly with whatever the situation is, you know, what is my choice? I can either freak out, like is my default, and figure out a way that I can handle this. Or I could just get quiet and say, God, you know, I don't know what you would have me be, but let me try to think what you might have me be and come up with the best response I can. And then the second half is humbly rely upon him, meaning I'm going to do my part, right? I don't have, you know, ESP into what God wants me to do all the time. I could just do what, you know, what comes to me, with, you know, the best I can. And after that, I just humbly rely upon him, and he guides me. You know, my old way was just really just to panic. And even if I had God in my life, I remember speaking to a spiritual advisor before I came to do this work and saying, I know God is trying to teach me a lesson here. I don't know what it is. And, like, going into so much fear that God's going to come and punish me because I'm not getting it. Whatever he's trying to drill into my head, I'm not getting it. And I was told at that time, God knows that you don't know. God knows that I don't know. I just have to do the best that I can with this situation and rely on him. And in doing this work, I see that the right answers come. Thank you. I'm going to wrap up. The right answers come. I just have to follow these directions. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Miriam Rifka H. For those of you just joining us, I'm Gina R., your moderator, or on page 68, the second paragraph, perhaps there is a better way, reading just one paragraph and commenting on that. I can take six more people. Who would like to share?
Eileen
this
M.
Is Robin G.
Sarah Toby.
Right, heard Eileen.
Elaine B.
Sarah Toby.
Elaine B. Karen R.
Greg B.
Robin
Mo. Okay, hold on. Got a line. Eileen M., Elaine B., Sherry KB, Reggie O., I think I heard Craig.
Robin P.
Was it Craig F.? No? It was a male
voice.
It was
Greg.
Okay.
It was Craig.
Oh, Greg.
Greg. Greg B.
Marcia.
And then I heard Robin. Okay, that's
yes.
I'm going to stop there. And if we have time, you guys, be ready to come back in. Robin, what's the last initial?
P, as in Peter.
Thank you. All right, so I've got Eileen M., Elaine B., Sherry KB, Reggie O., Craig B., Robin P. Please go ahead, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen S., actually. This is Eileen
S.
Yes,
okay,
as we said. Good morning, everyone. I just had to speak up because I love this paragraph so much. At the end of the paragraph in my big book, I wrote, wow, because I just love this paragraph so much. And somebody already said this, but I just felt like I needed to voice it, where it says, perhaps there is a better way. We think so. The gentleness of that, they didn't cram it down my throat. They just said, perhaps. And I'm working on my ninth step right now, so I just recently did my fourth step. And just the, this is just how you do it, sweetheart. Here, take my hand and let's go and do this. It's just so, it makes it so attractive to me. I can't resist. And I can't resist in a way that I used to not be able to resist food, fill in the blank, whatever that is. And I also just love we're on a different basis. That just, it's like I'm on a different foundation now. And it talks about foundation in the book. And that's what it feels like to me, that my, the basis of my life is different, a different basis. I just think there's so much in this paragraph. And I, too, am so inspired by being able to match calamity with serenity. And I had an experience yesterday that I didn't realize was that until I read it with everyone this morning. Wow, I matched calamity with serenity. And that is not me. That is not my normal state of mind. I heard someone say matching calamity with calamity, and that was more my story. Or matching calamity with intense fear or paralysis. And, you know, that still comes up for me, of course. You know, I'm in the process. But even the fact that I could have an example of the fact that that could happen, that I could actually match calamity with serenity, is just so deeply profound for me. So I really just appreciate hearing what everybody had to say about this gorgeous paragraph. I'm wondering if you could repeat the number of the earlier meeting. I'm sorry I didn't jot it down. So maybe if at some point you might be able to do that or somebody could let me know, I'd really appreciate it. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'm grateful to be here with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen S. And sure, I can give you that share ID now. It's 11508-11508. All right, we've got Elaine B. up next, followed by Sherry K.B. Elaine, please go ahead.
Thank you so much for your service, Gina. Really appreciate it and love this paragraph. Just so life-changing for me. You know, resentments are all about living in my past. I'm miserable, discontent, you know. Fear is about the future. So I'm either in the past or I'm in the future, but I need to be in today. I need to be in right here, right now. So when I'm afraid of the future, what am I doing? I'm trusting and relying on my capacity to predict the future, to make things come out right, or I'm catastrophizing on that everything's going to be just awful. I remember my husband would say, if you're going to project to anything, project to the best. But, you know, I need another way. I need a different way. And thank God there is a different way. You know, when I bring all my resources, all my understanding, all my knowledge, all my skill, all my ability to read your mind, predict the future and everything else, I end up restless, irritable, discontent, you know, either trying to stuff my feelings, run away from my feelings, or manage everything around me so that the thing that I think is going to happen won't happen. Or I just sit in fear and worry. And so, you know, I'm an easing comfort addict. I want to find a way to get back to peace, to get back to serenity. And so I take my little symbol of everything that I am, all my knowledge, wisdom, and I get to bring it to, I love the way on page 56 in We Agnostics, my power greater than myself is described, the presence of infinite power and love who wants to not just help me with the food, but with all my problems today. So I get back right into the here and now, and I remind myself, it's not about my will. It's not about my way. It's not about stuffing my feelings and ignoring this sign that God has given me that something is off and needs my attention. It may not be that I can do anything in the future, actions to take, but that's God's place to decide. So I can turn to God and put my trust, turn all that energy that was going into fear and worry and dread and turn it to this infinite power of love and trust. Choose to trust. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get back in the present, get my head out of the future, and humbly rely on God. I may just have to sit and wait. God may put an intuitive thought on my mind to take some form of action, like a 10 step, as we get further on and learn this tool. But either way, I'll be able to get that access to peace, to serenity, to ease and comfort, which is all I really wanted from Ben and Jerry and Sara Lee anyway. But now I can access it, get back in the day, and the present is the only place I can feel God's presence and peace. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. Sherry KB, you're next, followed by Reggie O. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Gina. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. And thank you for your service, Gina. It's nice to hear you and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. And I love this paragraph as well, as the way a lot of people have expressed, because that idea of being able to match calamity with serenity, because I could never do that before. I could never do that on my own. And it's reminding me here that I have to rely on infinite God rather than finite self, and trusting and rely upon God. And it's giving me a promise here is that if I do that, I will be able to match calamity with serenity. I can't do it by myself, but I can do it with God's help. And I love stories. And, you know, throughout this book, you know, they're always telling stories to remind us of things and repeating things over and over again because, you know, as somebody has said on the line, a beloved person, I have a built-in forgetter. And on page 544 under Freedom from Bondage on paragraph 3, this person says, I am the result of the way I reacted to what happened to me as a child. What is much more important to me is AA has taught me that through this simple program, I may experience a change in this reaction pattern that will indeed allow me to match calamity with serenity. And, you know, a lot of things happened to me in my childhood growing up, but it wasn't the cause of me being a compulsive overeater. It might have contributed to me being a compulsive overeater, but it wasn't the cause, because I was definitely born a compulsive overeater. And, you know, my full reliance needs to be on a power greater than myself. And I'll end with this. You know, I remember I love acronyms, and FEAR used to be F everything and run before recovery, and then it was face everything and recover. And now, you know, because of full reliance on my higher power, it is forgetting every available resource. And that's what I really love the most, because I have every available resource when I tap into my higher power and lean on my higher power rather than trying to do it all by myself, because my life will be full of calamity if I keep running the fairy show. And I think about over and over again some things that have happened in my life, and if I had just asked my higher power for help, I would have had a totally different outcome, and I had a hand in it due to not asking for help, due to not allowing my higher power to work through me and in me and about me. And I'm so grateful now that I am so willing to have that happen, and I do it on a daily basis, and my life is different due to that, and I can, and so can you, match calamity with serenity. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Reggie O., you'll be next, followed by Greg B. Please go ahead, Reggie.
Thank you. Good morning, Gina. Thanks so much for your service and everybody that's on the line and everybody that shared. What a beautiful paragraph. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, why we had these resentments, you know, why we had these disturbances in our lives, you know, wasn't it because we self-reliance failed us? And then this says, perhaps, as people have said, perhaps there's a better way. A different basis, a basis of trusting and relying on God. And, you know, step three comes before this step. And in step three, you know, I've made a decision to turn my will and my life over to God, reminding myself that I'm willing. I've made a decision to utterly abandon everything, you know, everything to God. And I used to think that was a one-time done deal decision, you know, and then I just would forget about it. But I'm realizing that I have to make this decision every day, and as many times as I can remember it, I make it throughout the day, so that I remember that along with making a decision to turn my will and my life over to God, that means I've made a decision to trust God rather than my finite self. Because if I had been able to trust my finite self, you know, I probably would have never been in this program. And but here I am learning this amazingly better way. And, you know, infinite God rather than our finite selves. You know, I'm a single human being in this huge, great, amazing, wonderful world. And I know so little of what I need to know to on my own to live my life smoothly and harmoniously and in good connection with other people and to make a difference. But, you know, I have this power, access, availability, which is what I'm trying to do, working these steps of the infinite, you know, that knows everything, this big, you know, view from above that knows everything that's going on all the time. And when I can turn myself over to that rather than this little bit that I know, you know, it's just so much more. And I don't always, you know, as it says here, you know, we don't always know, but as I would do, as I would think God would have me do, as I'm praying for God's will, there are certain things I know, you know, I know to be honest. Sometimes I forget, you know, and honesty is certainly something that grows in levels and layers over recovering, I have found. But it's, you know, I woke up this morning, I have a telephone call to make today that I need to make, and it's a business related call. And I thought, I had some reluctance in making it. I had fear. I started thinking about how I could do it in a good way. And then I started to realize, okay, what are my motives here? You know, there's some fear here around making this telephone call. Thank you. And I have to get right with God before I make that phone call so that I'm right with this phone call. And, you know, so it works on everything. And I'm just truly grateful. Amen. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggio. Craig B., you're next, followed by Robin P. Please go ahead, Craig. Other
guys. Hi, thank you so much. Good job, moderating, Gina. Thank you for doing that. Good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Greg B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Just to the extent that we do, that we think we would have us in humbling reply on him, does he enable us to match clarity with serenity? Calamity, there is calamity, but most of the things that I thought were calamity were not really calamity. Not getting your way is the main calamity that my sponsor told me. My big book sponsor said, you know, make this agreement as we do in our group. Greg, you will never have your own way and you will thank me for it later. I'm not going to get my way a lot of times, most of the time, and it's okay. I like the analogy that was mentioned about my buddy saying about the boat, the rowboat, and then I have to row, and it's my responsibility to row. It's not going to row itself. But I like the analogy of the fact that we're in this big boat together. God is with us. We are God. God is in us. God is everywhere. And we're all in the boat together. We're not isolated, frantically rowing the boat, trying to make it happen. And let's make this thing happen. Let's make it go. No, we're all together, and we're helping each other. If one person can't row that hard, the other person can pick up the slack. That's what this program's about. That's what the fellowship is about. And it is a God-based thing because it's a jointly universal thing. When I realize that God is in my dog and in the guy next door and out there in the street, out there in the real world, not just on the meeting, not in the happy place, but in the tough places, then, and I rely on that this is all working to good, or it's all working to whatever it's working to, whether it's good or bad, and I'm not in charge of it, things go better. So I will pass on to my friend Robin, Craig in California. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig B. Robin, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Gina. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Gina. Thank you so much for amazing meeting. God bless everybody in your recovery. Thank you so much for being on the line. I love this paragraph, and I love that the line on page 16, faith has to work 24 hours a day in us and through us or we perish. That makes it so simple for me. And it's, you know, I was programmed with fear and terror. I had a lot of child abuse as a kid. And I get to be reprogrammed through these steps and through this book. And I get to be reprogrammed for faith instead of fear, because fear is the go-to that my neurotransmitters just went on. And I literally get to let grass grow on them and allow God to reprogram the new good faith neurotransmitters. And that happens with recovery one day at a time, working my steps, working my program, getting out of my self-centered fear. And it's always self-centered fear, you know, that's the thing. So that's my clue, you know. And I also love fear happens because we are relying on ourselves to handle the situation, and we know we can't. And it's God reliance works every time when I'm willing to surrender. And I'm an inventor, and I'm pitching to a bunch of investors today, and part of me just wants to run away. You know, it's that F everything and run. And, you know, I just get to give it to God, let God hold my hand, and show up as a grown-up today. Recovered. And, you know, I get to just surrender. And God's will is always best for me, whatever that means. It's best for me. And I get to prepare. You know, I always remember that saying, pray for potatoes, but dig with the hoe. Like, you know, you can, if you don't plant the seeds, nothing's going to grow. You have to work with God, you know. And also I've heard, take every action that you believe you're supposed to and pray. You know, and so it's like a partnership together. And of myself, I'm nothing. The Lord doeth the works. And I get to participate and just show up abstinent. And it's so much easier to live abstinently than to get abstinent. And it's so much easier to live in faith than to grab at faith. You know, just practice. And I just get to keep practicing the rest of my life. You know, and I love the presence of infinite power and love. That's what I get to focus on. And when I feel the Holy Spirit with me, I am just golden. And every feeling that I looked for in the food, I now get to have without the consequences. I get to feel peaceful when I meditate. I get to have a, you know, a change of state when I work these steps and get out of myself. And I don't have to feel the shame and all those other things I felt and all those consequences. They don't happen now. I just get to grow. I always feel like I get to grow up or I'll grow out. And I get to keep growing up. So God bless everybody in your recovery. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will John K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Gina. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Great share today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.